Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. You're listening to the Mark Steiner Show, by the way, here on WEAA-FM in Baltimore, home of the Baltimore Blend. Weekdays from 6 to 8 a.m. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's national foreclosure settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. We're joined by John Talberth, who is president and senior economist for the Center for Sustainable Economy, Daphne Weisham, fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and founder of the Sustainable Energy and Economy Network, and John Kavanaugh, who will be with us for the whole hour, director of the Institute for Policy Studies itself. And John, Daphne, John, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Number is 410-319-8888. Write us here at steinershow@gmail.com. I will check our Facebook page and see if any of you have written in as well. And get your thoughts on the air as we open this conversation. I thought it would be good before we started entering into debate about the need for a minimum wage in Maryland and in America, about to start with your report. And John Talberth, let me begin with you just to talk about the genesis of this report and what you were doing and the overall kind of picture you described in your report.
Sure. Thanks, Mark. And again, thanks for having us on the show. Well, so the report weaves together two stories into one. And the first story is about the Genuine Progress Indicator, or GPI, which is a new measure of economic well-being adopted by the O'Malley administration in 2009 to supplement the conventional metric, which is gross state product, which is, of course, the state-level variance of gross domestic product, or GDP. The GPI, which is increasingly being adopted both internationally and across the states, provides us with a much more holistic look at how the economy is faring for all of us, taking a variety of social and environmental costs into account, including the cost of inequality, as well as the benefits of things like healthy ecosystems and volunteering and parenting and leisure and public infrastructure and modern consumer durables. The second story, of course, is about inequality in Maryland. And as you know, inequality globally across the nation and in Maryland has been worsening for decades, in particular in Maryland since 1968. In Maryland, only 3% of taxpayers now fall into the top five tax brackets, but bring home 36% of total income, average nearly $1 million a year in income. In contrast, nearly one in four Marylanders fall into the bottom five tax brackets, bring home less than 9% of the state's income, and have average incomes of less than $29,000. Now, this inequality does not just manifest in the distribution of income. The poor also bear the brunt of environmental contamination, crime, accidents, family stress, poor health, lack of access to the good things in life, like outdoor recreation, quality education, and modern housing. So what our report does is tie these two stories together in an analysis of the cost of inequality in Maryland and the benefits of closing the inequality divide using the GPI as a lens. And specifically, what we asked is, what would the GPI look like today if the more equitable distribution of income we had in 1968 were still present? And what we found was quite remarkable. Using the state's own GPI metric, we found that a return to a more equitable distribution of income could generate over $65 billion in benefits each year. This value represents over two times the entire state budget, is equivalent to one-fifth of Maryland's gross state product. Now, these benefits would take the form of increased spending by low- and middle-income families, which provides a much bigger multiplier effect in the state than spending by the wealthy. It includes lower social costs associated with divorce, crime, accidents, and underemployment, and increased benefits from higher education, increased benefits from consumer durables in low- and middle-income households. So with the level of benefits we estimate being so large, implies that any policies we could put in place to close the inequality divide would be well worth their cost. So what are these policies? Our report then goes into a detailed look at the array of policies to close the inequality divide in the state. And for those for discussion, then I'm going to turn it over to Daphne and John.
Go ahead, Daphne.
I just wanted to add to what John had said in terms of, you know, the notion that gross domestic product, yesterday it turns out was International Happiness Day, declared by the UN to signal the importance of going beyond gross domestic product as a measure of progress. And it also happened to be the day we released our report on this alternative to GDP that's now in place in the state of Maryland and what that indicator says about inequality. And, you know, from the get-go, GDP was never intended to guide economies the way it is now around the world. We need something new, and Governor O'Malley has put this new indicator in place to fill a void that the creator of the GDP, this man named Simon Kuznets, warned should be filled almost eight decades ago. And what's happening in Maryland is sort of a microcosm of what is happening in the U.S. as a whole. Maryland may be the richest state in the union, but it's suffering from one of the greatest gaps in income of any state. And we wouldn't get that information from looking at gross state product, but we would get it from this new indicator, the Genuine Progress Indicator, which tells us a lot more than GDP. GDP doesn't evaluate inequality because it's blind to inequality, and therefore it's blind to one of the leading issues of our time. And what our report essentially says is, clearly, trickle down is not working for Maryland. It's not working for a lot of the country. And what we need is a new set of policies, including we did mention raising the minimum wage in our report. We also talked about making our tax system more progressive. Implementing policies like reducing unemployment and underemployment, guaranteeing paid sick leave. There's a whole host of recommendations that a wide array of groups in Maryland have been working on, including working to reduce toxins and other pollutants in our environment, enhancing the social safety net, providing more affordable housing, expanding health care coverage. All of these things are ways of not just helping out those in the bottom rung economically, but helping out all of Maryland. And then that's sort of the fundamental finding of this report, is that inequality harms all of us. It doesn't just harm the poorest. It harms all of us, and there are very real economic benefits from addressing the inequality divide that would enhance the quality of life for all Marylanders.
But John Kavanaugh, I mean, one of the things that people argue when against these reports or about these reports is that the plan to get there is hard to comprehend for a lot of people, especially on the business side. I mean, you see, and we'll debate more of that in the coming part of this hour, which you will remain for. But I mean, that's part of the. I mean, that is part of the issue. And people argue that, okay, you raise the minimum wage, that means we're going to hire less workers. That if you hire less workers, you can raise your wages, but that doesn't mean they're going to spend more of their money because they won't have the money to spend. There's a complexities here. And these reports also always look back to, as this one did, about the income, as you wrote about, the income, more income equality vis-a-vis 1968. But how do you begin to get there?
Well, you know, the great thing about this country, and your older listeners will remember this, is that we have a terrific story in the 1950s and 60s in this country of people fighting hard to make the country more equal. And most people study this in their history books, we had the first Gilded Age 100 years ago, huge levels of inequality, which were not only bad, as Daphne just said, for the poor, they were bad for everybody. They dragged down the whole economy. And we had a huge fight in the 30s and 40s and 50s to raise wages and also to tax the top. And we created one of the most equal countries in the world. We created a booming middle class in the 50s and 60s. We used those taxes to fund things like the GI Bill. And I think almost everybody would agree that America was much better off through these policies, including businesses. So it's incredibly short-sighted for big businesses. And we'll, as you said, we'll get into this in the second half of the hour, but it was big companies like Walmart and McDonald's that argued in Maryland this past month against increasing the minimum wage. These are companies that are extremely profitable. They can pay higher wages. And I think, as John Tauber said at the outset, one of our main points here is that in this economy right now, the fastest growing jobs are low wage, minimum wage jobs, and the people who have them can't buy things. So if we want to look at this from a purely business standpoint, it makes enormous sense to raise the minimum wage, because poor people will spend more than if you gave that money to rich people. They can't. There's a limit to how much more stuff they can buy. Poor people, when they get more money, they buy things. That stimulates the economy. That creates jobs.
So, and what role do you think this report that you all just put out will play in the coming debate? I mean, so the report is out, but you know, and the debate on the minimum wage is done in the state legislature. It didn't pass out of committee.
Well, you know, just one thing. This is John Cavanna still.
Yeah.
What we know from Maryland is that you launch a fight, and the polls clearly show we won over the public in terms of the need to increase the minimum wage, and then for various reasons, people decide that they don't want to push the fight this year. What I think Governor O'Malley and the leaders of the Senate and House will do is they will make this a big fight next year. This happened last year with wind power. It didn't pass last year. We had a big year of education, and it passed this year. So the groups that are behind this, from the restaurant workers groups to the Progressive States Network and others, are committed to fighting this next year with all the arguments they can muster, and our report will be a centerpiece of that, and we're going to win it next year.
Yeah, let me just say, I mean, this is a real tragedy that the minimum wage reforms were shot down, because clearly, and as our report demonstrates, any perception of how costly the measure was, you know, any amount of costs that they tabulated are minuscule in comparison to the benefits for all Marylanders that could be conferred on the state through greater less inequality. So these legislators who voted down need to be held accountable to their constituents for voting down a measure that is of obvious and significant economic benefit to the state. And perhaps this will be reflected in the polls.
And Daphne, you said something I just have to define for our listeners, because I think that they don't really get what you said or don't understand it. Most people wouldn't, since we only live in Bhutan. But what is International Happiness Day?
Well, it's the UN declared it yesterday. Yesterday, I don't know if you were feeling happy, but you should have been. And, you know, it's probably inappropriately named. We should probably call it International Well-Being Day or some other term that tries to get at what the UN is trying to get at, which is that, you know, we are kind of stuck in a vicious cycle as long as we keep using GDP to measure our progress. I mean, think about it. Country after country around the world is racing to outpace each other's GDP, and yet, you know, China is killing its own people with the air pollution that they're generating. This is not an adequate metric. The way I sort of, in simple terms, the way I put GDP, it's like a giant calorie counter. It doesn't tell you the quality of the food that you're eating. You could be eating all fat, and it would still say, well, you've got lots of calories. That's a good thing. Well, what the GPI does, the Genuine Progress Indicator does, is it's more like a nutritional index. It tells you what economic growth is good for the economy and what, if continued indefinitely, could cause harm. And, you know, think about the housing crisis. Much of that crisis was caused by a variety of factors, but economic inequality played a large role in that, coupled with lax banking regulations. And had we had something like what is now in place in Maryland, the Genuine Progress Indicator in place at the national level, we would have the costs of economic inequality would have been more apparent, And it would have allowed policymakers to correct for it, perhaps, if they were wise, to correct for it in ways that may have averted the Great Recession. And that's a case where we see how we see that economic inequality really is not just harming all of us in the United States, but it has global implications. So, this is something that the UN recognizes. Quite a few other countries have recognized. Now, in the case of Bhutan, it's a different situation.
Right. It is.
And I'll let John Talberth just explain the distinction between what Bhutan is doing and what Maryland is doing, which is very different. John, do you want to?
John, we have like a minute left in the segment before we move on to our debate, but go ahead, please.
Oh, sure. Well, it's pretty easy. The Bhutan's national happiness quotient, it's really a subjective well-being measure. It's not something that's turned into dollars and cents. The GPI is meant to provide us better information about the economy, about GDP. What do those GDP numbers really mean? Do they mean that we're all getting better off or just the top 1%? Does it mean that we're spending a lot of money on cancer treatments and auto accidents and cleaning up disasters, or does it mean we're actually spending money on things that build society and build economic well-being? So they're really completely different things, and the GPI, and as Governor O'Malley wisely noted, it tells us a lot more about what's going on in the actual economy than GDP ever will do.
Well, I look forward to delving into this in greater detail in the coming weeks. I think this is an important issue to keep in the front. We're going to put the IPS report, Closing the Inequality Divide, link on our website, steinershow.org, so everybody can look at it and discuss it online with us and continue this discussion. I want to thank you all for the work you do and for putting this out, and John Talberth and Daphne Weisham, thank you both for joining us. It's been great to have you with us.
Thank
usual.
You. Thank you very much.
And John Cavanaugh is staying with us to continue this conversation with our other three guests. We're going to take a short break for 30 seconds and come right back as we debate minimum wage in Maryland and America. Stay with us.